thank everyone for whatever they've done. It was a great contribution. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the 8th chapter, is entitled Prayers of Queen Kunti, text number 30.
Janma karma chavisvatman ajasya karturatmana tiryandrise sujadasu tadajanta vidambanam.
Of course, it is bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work though you are inactive, and that you take birth though you are the vital force in the unborn. You yourself descend amongst animals, man, sages, and aquatics. This is bewildering.
Gopiyada de twai kritagasi dhammatavat yate dadashu kalilanjana sambrahmaksham vaktram niniya baya bhavanaya stitasya samam vimohayati bir apiyat bibeti.
My dear Krishna, Yasoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes. And you were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me.
Kichit ahurajam jatam punyaslokasya kirtaye yado priyasyanva vaye malaya ye vachandanam.
Some say that the unborn is born for the glorification of pious kings, and others say that he is born to please King Yadu, one of the dearest devotees. You appear in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malaya hills.
Apare vasudevasya devakyam yachitu byagat ajastvam ayakse maya vadayata sura dvisam.
Others say that since both Vasudev and Devaki prayed for you, you've taken your birth as their son. Undoubtedly, you are unborn, yet you take your birth for their welfare and to kill those who are envious of the demigods.
Bharavatara nayanye bhuvonava ivodado sidancha buribarena jato yatma buvartita.
Others say that the world, being overburdened like a boat at sea, is much aggrieved, and that Brahma, who is your son, prayed for you, and so you have appeared to diminish the trouble.
Bhavismin klishyamananam avichyakamakarmibi sravanasmaranarhani karisyan iti kechana.
And yet others say that you appeared for the sake of rejuvenating the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping and so on, in order that the conditioned souls suffering from material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation.
Srinvanti gayanti grinanti abhignasa smaranti nandanti tavetam jana taeva pasyanti achireyatavakam bhava pravaha paramam padambujam.
O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant and repeat your transcendental activities or take pleasure in others doing so certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death.
Om Agyana Timarandasya Ganandana Salakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sigurave Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vyasa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Lord Krishna. Appears in this world. And as we can see, for many reasons. Kunti Devi has just defined that Krishna appears to engage all the living beings who have forgotten, transcendental knowledge, in hearing and chanting about the glories of the Supreme Lord, to reawaken the sleeping conditioned souls, to provide them with transcendental knowledge. In this way, Krishna appeared to speak the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and Sanjaya, who was witnessing everything, told everything to Dhritarashtra. Demigods in the sky were witnessing. And Vyasadeva, he wrote down everything that was spoken on that battlefield of Kurukshetra. And thus, we are having the Bhagavad Gita. Or, we remember how Bhumi was overburdened. Here it is stated like a boat at sea, overburdened in a storm. Describing how elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, all the demoniac forces are overburdening the earth. So many military forces of so many demoniac rulers. We can see the same situation in the news. Countries barking at each other. And you wonder, is this a battle between the devotees and the demons? Or what is it? The demons and the demons? It's not the devotees and the devotees. What can be said? So, in this way, the Supreme Lord appears to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants. Paritranaya sadhanam vinasya saduskritam dharma samstapayatiya sambhavami yuke yuke. In this age, Lord Chaitanya appears, and he appears not to kill the demons, but to kill the demoniac mentality. That is our good fortune. Otherwise, I don't know if there would be many alive at this time. So, we're lucky. Here we are in the temple of the Panchatattva. And in this place, we are very much fond of Harinam Sankirtan, which is the Yuga Dharma. But yet, we turn to Krishna, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned to Krishna. Sometimes we hear that when we chant the Panchatattva mantra, that mantra is even more merciful than the Hare Krishna Maha mantra, because no offenses are considered. Therefore, that is the best mantra, in a way. So someone heard that and said, okay, that's it then. From now on, I'll just chant that mantra. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunichananda Sri Dvedagadadra Sri Asri Gaur Bhaktivinoda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunichananda Sri Dvedagadadra 16 rounds of Panchatattva mantra. But now, we're chanting Hare Krishna, because Lord Chaitanya chanted Hare Krishna. We are remembering Lord Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always remembering Lord Krishna. Because the pastimes of Lord Krishna can fulfill the heart. And there's no separation between these two. So it's not that, oh, now is the Yuga Dharma, now only Lord Chaitanya. No, very much Krishna. By entering into the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one emerges in the pastimes of Lord Krishna. So, in this way, we are preparing for the for Jamashtami. Jamashtami is a time to do something extraordinary. It cannot be an average day. It cannot be that Jamashtami is just a day like any other day in Krishna consciousness. Jamashtami is a day to do something special, whatever it is, to read more about Krishna. Therefore, in some temples, since the time of Srila Prabhupada's presence, in some temples there is always somewhere a room where there are devotees who read the whole day Krishna book, from morning till night. Krishna book has 90 chapters, so that's a lot. But they just start in the morning, and different people go in the room, and everyone reads a little bit. And this is really nice, actually. It's a nice practice. Because we just want to spend the whole day, just one day, the whole day, Krishna. Tomorrow, let's just not communicate on the phone. Let's not do it. Yeah? Even if there is all this stuff about Krishna on the phone, I know, but there's not only stuff about Krishna on the phone. And before you know it, it's again, you know, the everyday drain of like all this telecommunication. So it's just flight mode. Switch your phones off. Leave them home. Right? And then we'll just spend time here. Right? We will not go anywhere. We will not go on any virtual journey. We will just stay here. And we'll just spend our day with Krishna. As simple as that. And that's actually all we want. Just one day completely Krishna. Not like a little, but just from morning till night, the whole day, talking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, chanting, and whatever it is, or serving. Right? Cooking and cooking and cooking and cooking for Krishna until you drop, right? I mean, so many preparations. And each one has to be good, not like, you know, 1,000 quick preparations. It's like, take yogurt in 12 bowls, and like, you know, and you put different flavors in each one. So, 12 preparations. Next, you know. No, real preparations. Many, yes. This is Jamashtami. It must be, a special offering must be made to Krishna. And everything. Artists come out and do dramas, or dancers dance, or children dress up. Sometimes they do a yajna with 108 names of Krishna. So many different activities. Abhishekas. In some temples, the abhishekas are like many colors. I mean, they are not just bathing with milk and yogurt and those things, but and honey, but also with fruit juices and endless varieties and huge abhishekas. So, and takes the whole day to prepare, and then it's a big thing, and then all the mantra chanters come out, this stotram and that stotram and this Purusha Shukta and that one, and they all chant it without paper. Everywhere you have some of those pandits. So that is very nice. All these things are for Jamashtami. Anything to glorify Krishna. Beautiful decorations. As simple as that. So Jamashtami is not like a time that everything has to be new, that we have to hear. We will hear the same old thing, you know, that Mother Earth was overburdened by all these military phalanxes of demoniac kings and came in her original form of a cow as Bhumi Devi before Lord Brahma. And subsequently, Lord Brahma felt the grief that Bhumi Devi felt, and he shared, and in compassion, Brahma decided to help her. All the demigods came also to that place, and all together they went to the shore of the ocean of milk, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is lying on a bed of Ananta Sesh, that serpent who with many hoods is providing an umbrella for the Lord. And then Lord Brahma received a message telepathically. Yeah? Not on his phone. He received a message, and then he told all the demigods to take birth. To take birth in the family of the Yadus. And thus, the demigods appeared in the family of the Yadus. And so, the Yadus became very powerful. And Krishna eventually also appeared in that family. All these matters will be discussed. It will be discussed how Kamsa had the prophecy that he would be killed by the eighth son. I remember in one Janmashtami, I came, and when I came to the program, there was a poster, and my name was on many things, and one of them was a play. I had no idea, you know, that. But my name was announced for a play. Anyway, this is the Hare Krishna movement. You have to surrender, you know. Right? Just surrender, Prabhu. So, okay, I surrendered. And we had Vasudev and Devaki on a chariot. And Kamsa in the front, holding the reins and so on. And I was the narrator, because no one had learned his lines. Nobody knew the story that well. So I was basically telling the story and they were acting it out. It was a funny play because it went wrong most of the time. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter. It was fun anyway. Lord Chaitanya also used to do plays, and they were not rehearsing them. They were not rehearsing the parts. They would just put on the costumes and start playing. And everyone would take some role. So like that we can also do it. Although I'm not so big, I can do a good Kamsa. So, yes, all my subjects, only here for my pleasure. Anyway, so we can certainly do such things. I'm open. If anyone wants to play, let's play. Whatever we will do, let us just somehow or other remember Krishna. As simple as that. That's the purpose. It's not Hollywood or Bollywood. It's simply here on the wooden floor in Ljubljana. Special sound effects. So somehow or other we will. It's not a show. It is simply we want to spend our time remembering Krishna. And every detail we want to remember. somehow or other, more detail, more about Krishna, so many things about Krishna's pastimes, whatever happened. We remember how Kamsa, such was very powerful. Kamsa had even taken the throne from Indra. He had fought with Indra, and he'd taken his throne and put it in Mathura. Of course, you might think, how is this possible? But we should understand that, yes, well, it was for the Yadus, ultimately. Kamsa, of course, sat on that throne for a while, but, you know, once Krishna was invited for that wrestling match, then at the end, the situation got pretty exciting. It is said that Krishna and Balaram defeated these powerful wrestlers. And of course, Kamsa became very agitated, very agitated. And then the next thing, in Gopal Champu, it describes that Krishna and Balaram then, with some other boys, started wrestling. Some coward boys. And these coward boys defeated Krishna and Balaram. to make it even worse. That's when Kamsa lost it. That was just too much for Kamsa. And Kamsa just called out from, "Royal guard, confiscate all the goods of Nanda!" So he went after Nanda. Well, that Krishna, of course, could not tolerate, you know. So then the royal guard was around Kamsa, and Krishna jumped on the dais, the raised platform, over the royal guard. A big jump. And then he slapped Kamsa, and Kamsa's crown fell off his head. Jiva Goswami explains that some say that Krishna's intention was only to knock the crown of Kamsa's head, because after all was his uncle, so he never wanted to kill him, but somehow or other, accidentally. Some say. Of course, you know, mind you, when Kamsa was lying on the ground, and he was already dead, but Krishna then started to beat him like anything, and punch him left and right, just so that everyone could see that Kamsa was really finished, and then he had the body of Kamsa also, he dragged the body through the arena. So everyone was now quite sure Kamsa is actually dead. And so that was quite a relief at the time, one should understand. So all these things took place. And then Krishna said, "Okay, Now I'm going home," said Nanda Maharaj. "Let's go. Let's go to Vrindavan. Job done. We get out of here. You know, we go back home." And then the Yadus said, No, wait a minute. Didn't the celestial voice, a celestial voice never speaks a lie. Didn't that celestial voice say that the eighth son of Devaki would kill Kamsa? So who killed Kamsa? You killed Kamsa. So then, that proves that you are the son of Devaki. Then, you have a duty to stay here and protect your parents. Now there's no one, only old Ugrasena. Right? So who can protect us? You will have to stay here. Krishna-like. Oh my God. What's this, you know? I mean, I have to stay here. I don't want to stay in Mathura. I don't want to stay here. But somehow or other, Dharma was so strong that he was forced to stay. And nowadays, you know, who cares about Dharma, you know what I mean? It's your duty to stay. Yeah, sure, you know. Zhoof, I'm gone, right? But the whole society, everyone was following Dharma. There was no question of not following. So he was just forced by social pressure. He was forced. He had to stay. It was terrible. And he's just thinking about it, how to get out of this. Anyway, he said to them, don't worry. I'll just kill a few demons and then I'll be back. And that was his intention. That was his plan. It is well known that Krishna always says to the residents of Vrindavan, I just have to kill a few more demons, but then I'll come. That is well known. But we should understand he means it also. He wants to come. But it's the Yadus who are always holding him to this responsibility. You are responsible. You cannot leave. How can you go and leave us unprotected? No, no, no. You must stay. So in this way, we can see how Krishna, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is also becoming caught, just like we do. And becomes caught in a network of social obligation and caught in relationships. I don't know if you are caught in relationships, right? If you're not, then that's amazing. Because everyone gets caught in relationships from the moment you're born, right? It starts caught in relationships and it carries on and carries on. And the things you do for relationships, it's amazing. You would never do on your own. No way. Really. You wouldn't do it. But for relationship, you do the craziest things. Everybody. So this is interesting. And Krishna also. Krishna also gets caught in relationships, which is very nice because it means that Krishna is, as Srila Prabhupada put it, he said that in personal calamity thou hast moved, absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Sentient means the absolute truth has a heart. That's what it means. The Supreme Lord has a heart. One of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers wrote a book called The Heart of Krishna. And it's a nice book, actually. The heart of Krishna is really the one thing. That's the one thing that we want to conquer. We want to capture the heart of Krishna. When all these mothers in the morning, in Vrindavan, send their sons, the cowherd boys, into the forest, they make lunch packages. And they know very well that these cowherd boys have a game where they steal each other's lunch packages. And they know that they taste from each other's lunch packages. And they also know that sometimes Krishna steals the lunch package of one particular boy. And maybe today will be the lucky day that Krishna will steal the lunch packet of my boy. Therefore, every day they make sure to put something special in these lunch packages. See? They're not just ordinary lunch packages. I mean, they are lunch packages, you know, like, that could drive you mad, because what these ladies want is that Krishna tastes at least one preparation from that lunch package and that he just goes like, wow, I've never tasted anything like this. That's what they want, that recognition. It is said that a devotee is completely selfless and that a devotee is serving Krishna and doesn't want anything from Krishna. But it's not entirely true, actually. It's not true. Because what a devotee wants to see that as they do service for Krishna, they want to see a glimmer in Krishna's eyes, a glimmer of recognition. Something that Krishna says, wow, that's really nice. That's what the devotees want. Nothing else. Only that. Only that. So it's not impersonal that we are just serving Krishna and serving Krishna for the pleasure of Krishna. I remember that somehow or other, my first Gaur Purnim in the Hare Krishna movement, I wound up in the Bhaktivedanta Manor. And there's the reception room nowadays. And that room was not yet the reception room. It was just a huge empty room. There was an ocean of sweets. Everyone was just rolling sweet balls and different trays of sweets. And it was my service to fast that day and to roll sweet balls. Now, I was very new in Krishna consciousness, and I just couldn't get it, you know. I mean, what are we doing in this Hare Krishna movement? It's like they fast the whole day, and they deal more with food than on any other day. Yeah? It's like, and they make me fast, and I had to sit in the middle of an ocean of sweet balls. Just rolling sweet balls. It's just like, it was just it was just too much. At one point I went out, I offered something and I ate it. I couldn't handle it any longer. I did offer it. at least that much, you know. But I couldn't tolerate it any longer. It was just too much, too austere. I couldn't understand it. And then the devotee said, yes, it's all for the pleasure of Krishna. Oh, for the pleasure of Krishna. Nothing for us at all. It was difficult to relate to that. You know. Now I understand. All for the pleasure of Krishna. But that is our pleasure. But we want to see that pleasure. We want to see how Krishna is becoming ecstatic. That's it. That's the fun, even in this world. We see that. People, they cook and then they want you to eat and eat till you almost die of overeating. And that's the greatest ecstasy. It's a strange thing. It's a strange thing. If you think about it, they almost kill you, and they really enjoy it. But this has its origin in the spiritual world, because Mother Yasoda does the same thing. I mean, in the morning, early in the morning, before others get up, Rohini, Balaram's mother, is already in the kitchen, and she's cooking and cooking. At that time, Radharani is not yet there. They're bringing her later on a palanquin, and a beautiful palanquin, a procession comes, and Radharani is carried, brought to the house of Yasoda to cook there also, and then she cooks. And then Krishna eats this enormous breakfast, and then Mother Yasoda said, "You're not eating anything. Take something, you know. Come on, you know, you're starving." Right? Meanwhile, he's like, you know, eaten a ridiculous amount already. And she's still insisting that he'll take more. It's amazing how these things are there in the spiritual world. But it's also wonderful, because we can so easily relate to Krishna. So we want to focus on that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, we know, we know that Arjuna saw the universal form. We know that. We know that the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita describes that universal form of Krishna in an elaborate way. Many faces, many mouths. And in these mouths, he was chewing up all the heroes from the battlefield of Kurukshetra as if they were potato chips. That's kind of intense, right? And Prabhupada was in Calcutta, and Prabhupada was eating kachoris, his favorite preparation. On the day after Janmashtami, there have to be kachoris for Prabhupada's appearance day. Yeah? That has to be. If you don't know how to make kachoris, you better get the cookbook and start practicing, because you have to be kachoris. That's like a must. Because Prabhupada loved kachoris. And Prabhupada was... There was bombing in Calcutta. An alarm. Everyone went into the bomb shelter. But his wife had just cooked a place of fresh, piping hot kachoris. So Prabhupada didn't go in the bomb shelter. He stayed there. And he ate his kachoris. And he was eating those kachoris. And then he saw the bombing. And Prabhupada said, that was also Krishna. That was also Krishna. But that was not the lovable form of Krishna. That was not the lovable form of Krishna. So Prabhupada also describes that that universal form is not the lovable form of Krishna. Yes. But this personal form of Krishna, that is what we want to know. That is the lovable form of Krishna, because that form of Krishna is very close to us. Kalusmi lokiksaya krit. I am the destroyer of worlds. Not that. That's not what we are going to meditate on Janmashtami. We're going to meditate on Krishna, on his human and superhuman pastimes. And that is actually most wonderful. So yes, this is what is on our mind. And on this evening, we are preparing. I'm now soon going to end. Because part of preparing is to have a good night's sleep, so that tomorrow we have all that energy to just go and go and go and then go a little more and then still a little more and just a tiny little bit. We remember that Srila Prabhupada in one of the early Janmashtamis in New Vrindavan did not have any books translated at the time. The Bhagavatam wasn't translated. The Krishna book was not just written. So he didn't have the stories about Krishna. So what he did, he was just in the evening reading the Sanskrit verses. And it's for hours. And Prabhupada said, it doesn't matter whether you understand it or not, you'll be purified. So, and everyone is sitting there, and there were many sannyasis with dandas. And at one point, the whole forest of dandas was falling over. Everyone. It said like everyone. Everyone was asleep. I mean, except for Prabhupada at one point. It was just impossible to stay up till midnight. Now we have so many things. Now we have so many experts in so many aspects of the culture of Krishna consciousness. Now it's midnight before you know it. And then comes the appearance day of Srila Prabhupada. The next day. And it's really every year it's like, how are you going to survive all this? In order to deal with Janmashtami and Srila Prabhupada's appearance day, you have to be transcendental. It's the only option. So I know normally we are not so transcendental. But on this day, somehow or other, on these days, we have to be. We'll have to rise above the bodily platform to make it to the end. Keeping that in mind, I think now I'm going to deal with the body a little bit. A nice shower, little rest, so that then tomorrow the festival can begin. And I hope to see you all. And that will be very nice. Thank you so much. Sri Krishna Janmashtami ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.